Now, as we said yesterday, and it's a pity I wasn't able to speak to her this morning because I would have loved to have got Minister Norma Foley, Kerry Fianna Fáil TD, I should say, oops for that, Fianna Fáil TD's reaction to the views on the news of the vote last night on MICA, the MICA redress scheme, in which Joe McHugh of Fine Gael voted against the government and lost the whip, thereby the government losing its majority in the Dáil. And then secondly, in relation to the decision by the DPP not to take any prosecution in relation to the document, the confidential document, government document that Leo Varadkar passed on to a friend a number of years ago, that has directed that there will not be any prosecution in relation to that. So that really sets the way for Deputy Varadkar, the current Taoiseach, to become Taoiseach when the handover from Micheál Martin to him takes place in the autumn. But as we said yesterday, the school transport fees was announced on Tuesday evening by the government. They've announced that school transport fees will be scrapped for the 2022-2023 school year as part of a new package to curb back to school costs. Now, I caught up with Minister Norma Foley yesterday and I put it to her some criticism for the Labour Party in relation to that. The Labour Party said her announcement will do nothing for the lottery system in place, whereby it's the luck of the draw if your child gets a school place. And also it doesn't address the boundaries or the distances within your limited to qualifying for a school bus in your area. I put that to Minister Norma Foley. This is what she had to say.
I think, to be fair, in the first instance, I should say that this is one measure in a €67 million package of support for families as they prepare for back to school. I think it is a very significant step for families that we are waiving the school transport fees, and indeed families who have already paid those fees, they will be refunded. We are speaking here in relation to 121,000 students who are benefiting from the school transport scheme. It's a considerable saving for families. For example, some families would save up to €500 and they would be paying that money over now in the month of July. All of the other issues as raised by the deputy in terms of other criteria, there is a significant review of the entire school transport scheme underway. I've initiated that process. I'm very clear in my understanding of the importance of the school transport scheme and indeed accessibility and criteria of eligibility and all of that. Coming from a rural county, I very much appreciate the importance of the scheme. So there is a very wide review going on, and as part of the review, I announced concessions last year, interim concessions around eligibility for those who are attending not just their nearest school, but those who are attending their next nearest school, their second nearest school, that they would be eligible. And all other issues around mileage and all of that, they are currently still being looked at. And I want to acknowledge we've had phenomenal engagement from the general public, from students, from parents, from the stakeholders in terms of transport as regards how we should envisage and how we should, make the school transport system better going forward. And as an interim measure, we've made this announcement as a cost of living measure, if you like, and I think it will be, and it has been, as you will have seen already, very, very broadly welcomed for so many families who are very definitely going to benefit from it.
So when this review is completed of the school transport system, which looks at the seat lottery, which looks at limits, the limits on distance whereby you qualify to go on a particular bus route, when will that review be completed? Do we know?
Yes, the work, as I said, is already underway, and it is my expectation that it will be completed in the next number of months. It has been a considerable body of work. We have been, and I think very happily taken by the number of submissions. We have received thousands of submissions in relation to this. We have engaged with best practice in other jurisdictions and in other countries. We have spoken directly with students and parents and users of the system. We've also spoken with the stakeholders and the providers. So it has been a considerable body of work, but we are coming to the end of it. As I said, there was an interim report, and on foot of that report, I did extend eligibility to the second nearest school, and we are moving apace with it now, and we should have that work completed, which will be, in its broadest sense, a look at every aspect of the school transport system, and that will be available in the not too distant future.
In his press release, Deputy Sean Sherlock of the Labour Party, he gives an example of what he describes as, you have an instance of the big dairy farmer's son, 5 kilometres away from school, gets free ticket, while the factory worker's daughter, who's 4.5 kilometres away from school, can't even get on the bus in the first place because of the way the system, the school bus system is at the moment. You're saying all that's going to be reviewed, and that that archetypal farmer's worker's daughter, who's in that factory worker's daughter, who's in that predicament, she should be looked after.
Eligibility for the school transport scheme has nothing to do with anyone's background or any occupation. It is currently to do with the distance from which you reside from the local school. But again, as I've said to you, all of those aspects and others, eligibility criteria, distance from school, all of that is being looked at as part of this review. And indeed, Deputy Sherlock is very well aware of that, as indeed are all members of the House, because it has been very positively greeted that we would do this route and branch review. It's the first time that such a significant route and branch review of the school transport system has been undertaken, and it was a key priority for me to do that because I do appreciate and understand the importance of availability and access to school transport, and you know what it means to so many different families. And as I say, there's a very broad scheme of work where all aspects of the scheme are being addressed, and that report will be with us shortly. But in the interim, I was very conscious of the need to have interim measures, and so as I said, eligibility was increased, but also this significant measure, which is the waiving of all fees for which will benefit 121,000 students, and as I said, save many families up to €500. I think in the present circumstances in which we live, any saving for a family is a good saving, and for families that can save, as I say, up to €500, that's a very positive thing too. And indeed, those, as I've said already, who have paid previously, those fees will be refunded to them.
And staying with school transport, do you think further help or more help could be given to private bus operators that run routes on behalf of Bus Éireann, or indeed Bus Éireann itself, in terms of subsidising the cost of fuel if diesel and petrol prices continue to escalate as they have been doing now for several months?
Well, indeed, I'm very conscious of the issues around fuel, and measures have been put in place to support Bus Éireann. And Bus Éireann is the provider and is the contractor, and then you would be aware that many others are subcontracted via Bus Éireann. But we have put measures in place to support, specifically in terms of fuel. And, you know, we have shown ourselves, you know, right throughout the last number of months, and indeed I would say perhaps the last 2 years, in terms of, you know, the very fluid situation in which we found ourselves, whether it was COVID or now presently with the war, we have shown a flexibility to the very best of our ability and capacity from a financial point of view to meet the challenges as they arise. And again, as I say, the announcement that we've just made in terms of the school package is another example of that.
The government also announced an additional €100 to the back-to-school clothing and footwear allowance, raising it to €260 for a child who's up to 11 years of age, or €385 for a child who's over the age of 12. There'll also be an expansion of the Hot School Meals programme to include an additional 60,000 children. Now, you've been reported as saying earlier today that you're going to actually push for more cost-relieving measures as part of the budget. What else would you like to see done to help families during these difficult financial times?
Well, I think, to be fair, and I have been very clear in saying that the measures that were announced just yesterday evening are a part of a process. They're not the end result. And Minister Michael McGrath, Minister Pascal Donoghue have made it very clear that the budget, which is now brought forward to the 27th of September, will very much so be a cost of living budget. And so the measures that we introduced yesterday were introduced yesterday because there was a time sensitivity to them, and they're specifically looking at areas, you know, to support families. I'm very keen, you know, I have, in the 2 years that I have been minister and in the two budgets I've presided over, I've been very keen to look at a whole variety of aspects to support the running of our schools and to support our children and young people. So, for example, we have supported the book rental scheme to the tune of 17.2 million, and more than 96% of our primary schools are availing of the book rental scheme, 69% of the post-primary schools, and I'd like to see that expanded even further. I've also supported the pilot scheme that we have in our DESH schools, more than 102 DESH schools, in terms of free books. And again, these are other issues that I'd like to look at in the budget on the 27th of September. So there's no shortage of issues that I'd like to specifically address where we have the latitude and the resources to do so, but I'm very conscious that everything is a budgetary consideration when it will come to the 27th of September, but it very much so will be focused on cost of living.
May I ask you, Minister, we got a couple of comments in from listeners saying that it will cost them over €300 to provide a school uniform for their child in September. I mean, are there measures in place at the moment whereby if a school that is school has the ability to say, well, you have to buy this type of uniform, you can't get it in the local supermarket? What is the state of play? Because from the comments I've been getting from some people, it seems that they are being told by a number of schools still that they have to go to a certain place to get a school uniform, and that may be quite dear, as I gave you that figure there. It may cost over €300 to fit out a child for a uniform for the year in some schools in this county.
Well, the Department of Education has made very clear, and indeed has issued circulars to schools to inform them that every opportunity should be given to families to avail of uniforms wherever they might well purchase them, whether from the local store, that there would be, for example, if it comes to crested, that they would be iron-on crests, that there would be an opportunity for them to avail of the best cost that they can procure in terms of a uniform. And I think that's right and proper, and I'm very conscious myself, and I have taken a look at, for example, local stores where primary school uniforms can be obtained at €20 or less, but I do appreciate that we need all schools to buy into that, and the vast majority of schools are buying into it, but I think if there are a number of schools that are not, I think now is the opportune time. We are in a particular challenge in terms of cost of living, and I think all schools need to step up in terms of ensuring that no prohibitive costs are placed on families in terms of providing for uniforms.
But there's no way of compelling schools, though, as such, is there? Are there?
Well, I'd have to say to you two points, really, I suppose. Schools are managed by the boards of management, but I will say clear directive in terms of circulars issuing to schools have issued in terms of encouraging schools so that their school communities would avail and have the maximum opportunity to seek out the best possible price in terms of uniform, and that they would be free to purchase uniforms wherever best suits the families in question. And again, in terms of, I said, uniforms that have crests or whatever, there's a very clear request there that the crests would be iron-on crests, and that basically nothing would be prohibitive in terms of students and their uniforms.
And what can parents do if they feel the school isn't taking their concerns seriously?
Well, I think, as always, I mean, if there's a specific concern that parents have, they can, of course, raise it with the school principal, but they can, of course, escalate that also to the board of management.
So the power lies within them, but you're saying the department and yourself have made your position very clear.
Absolutely.
On this in relation to the cost of uniforms.
Indeed, and I do want to acknowledge that the vast, vast majority of schools are very cognizant of that need, particularly in the circumstances in which we find ourselves. And if there are some instances where they're not as cognizant, I think now is the opportune time for schools to take that approach, given that we are in the midst of a particularly challenging cost of living situation for so many of families and for so much of society.
Now, I would like to ask you about children with additional educational needs. It's being reported that over 100 children with special educational needs are still without a school place in September. Hasn't the system failed them?
I think I want to acknowledge, because I see it myself firsthand, there is superb work going on the length and breadth of the country in terms of provision of education for children with additional needs. I see it regularly in so many different schools in County Kerry, and indeed I see it throughout the country. And I want to acknowledge that. There have been challenges in terms of there are 106 students currently, 56 awaiting a place in a special class, and 50 in a special school placement. The NCSE are...
Who are the NCSE?
The National Council for Special Education are very confident that the provision of places for the 50 in special schools will be provided for. And there is the outstanding 56 places for special class places. And we're currently working through with schools. We've had a number of schools who are working very closely with the department, and we're confident we will meet many of those numbers. And in the very limited instances where it does arise, where schools are not willing to make the provision available, I am currently bringing through the Dáil the Section 37A legislation, which is a process that will ultimately compel a school to make provision for children with special education needs. And heretofore, the process was, you know, a 6 to 18 month process, whereas the legislation which I'm currently bringing through the Dáil, as I say, and will be completed by the 15th of July, will reduce the process to 6 to 8 weeks. And that will be a last option, if you like, because we are very intent, I believe strongly, in the partnership approach in working with schools. But where there are a handful or a limited number of schools who are not showing a willingness to make provision for children with additional needs, well then, there is the option to compel schools to do that. But again, in acknowledging there is superb example of best practice, openness and willingness of so many schools to make that provision, and it is working so, so very well in so many different parts, and most especially and notably in Kerry.
Was Minister of State for Special Education, Josepha Madigan, was she wrong to name four schools in Dublin that she said weren't providing places or trying to establish places for special educational needs? Was she wrong to be direct and to out the schools in effect?
Well, I think it's important in the interests of openness and transparency that people would know exactly what the department are at, what the National Council for Special Education are about, who they're engaging with, how those engagements are going, and the provisions that are being made for children. I think in the interests of transparency, everybody needs to be fully au fait with what's happening. And again, I want to acknowledge the vast, vast majority of schools are proactive, are positively engaging, and are open and welcoming to making this provision.
And that's Minister for Education Norma Foley, who spoke to me yesterday.